the thing that's missing from that scenario is purpose, living with purpose, life fulfillment, and eventual happiness. Those things don't usually end up at the end of that ego-based model. Everybody talks about like they do. They're always telling you how happy they are, but inside, man, they're not. Because the ego always has a hole in it, something to fill. I've got to get something out there to put it inside here. There's a hole to be filled. My soul takes a very different approach. There's nothing I need to be fulfilled. I can be fulfilled in this very moment. I don't need the bank account. I don't need the girl. I don't need the guy. But when I have those things, brother, it's just more fulfilling because I'm already filled with that energy of Christ energy, source energy, soul energy. I'm full. I don't need anything else to make me full. And that's the work.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Today's guest has more than 35 years of coaching experience. He's the founder and CEO of Samurai Success, an international executive, organizational, and personal coaching firm. David C. Aucott has dedicated his life to being in service. He knows that the best thing he can do for his clients and the world is to work on himself so he can show up as the highest, most loving version of himself in order to be in the grandest form of service to others. He will help you close the gap between who you say you are and how you actually are in the world. He'll help you reprogram your subconscious mind to actually serve you in who you say you want to become. He's guided thousands in creating a relationship with and honoring their ego, while also creating from a source of soul rather than ego. One of the most profound concepts he teaches to his clients that really opened my mind and piqued my curiosity is that it's not about consciousness, but congruency that matters. He's on a mission to continuously learn and guide others in how to make spirituality practical in this reality. David, my friend, really excited about this conversation. Just wanted to welcome you to the podcast.
Thank you, man, so much. Truly an honor to be here.
Of course. You know, since we had our conversation a couple weeks ago on the phone, which is amazing, I've been wondering this about you. And I feel so often in life, we ask people, what's your belief? Like, what's maybe your religion? What's your background? What's your belief? What are your goals? I'm more interested in who you actually are. So many times we can say, you know, my belief is this. You know, I may believe in Christianity, Catholicism, Buddhism, whatever it may be, which is a nice step or a nice thought of who, of how you want to show up in the world. But that could be very different from how you actually do show up in the world. I've met some people in and all walks of life, but in certain religions that don't show up in that way at all. So David, I would love to know, not your beliefs, not your goals. David, who are you and how do you show up in the world every day?
Oh, beautiful question. And first of all, I want to acknowledge just your, the things that we coach with people about is setting these things called rituals, right? Just watching you prepare for today and getting into this mode with me, just watching your rituals, man, is so beautiful. So thank you for the hard work you've done to be able to get in this space and to create this space for both you and I. So
thank you.
Thank awesome. You. Awesome. Awesome. Wow. Gosh, how to unpack that. For most of my life, man, I've been on that journey of doing what most of us have been told to do, which is go out there and discover who you are, as if there is something out there that I'm supposed to find, a treasure hunt, right? I'm on this journey. I'm supposed to go out there. I've just landed here. I've got this mom. I've got this dad. Sometimes I'm always there, but I've got this thing. I'm supposed to go and find this thing called who I am. And this drove me crazy because I thought I was doing all the right things that people were telling me about who I was, because that was most of my beginning of my life, was everybody was telling me who I was. And I was like, oh, because whenever I didn't do what they said I should do, I got punished for that, right? So there was this thing that was happening that I was like, what is this? Where is this training for this? There's lots of confusion. And finally, right around that 20th mark of my year of being on this planet, I discovered something new. And it wasn't so much that you were here to discover who you are here to create who you are. Well, Justin, that's when thing. Now, listen, I didn't get this right away and just take off, you know, and all of a sudden, but it haunted me because I started looking at the world very differently when I became aware of this knowledge. This knowledge has been here for centuries, Justin. This isn't new stuff, right? It's like, oh, but it was new to me. And that was the earth-shattering moment that I had to take a different view and perspective of this entire planet, of everything that was going on. Because as I started looking at this with this new frame of reference, I started realizing the most successful people on the planet were doing just that. They were creating themselves into this creation of image of who they are. And if you want to go through a list of names that you and I could go through today, you see these people doing this. How did Taylor Swift become Taylor Swift? Now, there's a journey that goes along, but I'm telling you, it is crafted and designed. And during my time, you know, I grew up during a time where a gentleman named John Denver was becoming huge. And he was not only a great folk singer, but also in movies and plays and television. And I mean, he was this big megastar. So Elvis Presley was before that, you know, which I kind of missed that time frame, but I was there at the tail end of it. And then John Denver came. I mean, this was a megastar. So a megastar today is like a Taylor Swift. How do these people do it? It's just like about how mom and pop stars that are very successful do it. They're creating their identity. So for me, the thing that really hit me the most about living a life that was most fulfilling was truly being in service of others. So my whole outcome for this lifetime is that destiny, if you will, of being in service of others. And there is a word in the Japanese language that translates perfectly to that. And that word is becoming samurai. Samurai, loosely translated, means in service of others.
I did not know that.
It was awesome when I first came across that. It was actually really well promoted in Tom Cruise's movie, The Last Samurai, which of course was written by somebody else, but he starred in it and made the movie, of course. But in that movie, they talk very specifically in service of others. So when I found out that the greatest life you could live is about being that, then I just was a natural thing of, man, I want to live the greatest noble life that I can. How do I have to identify to remember who I am in the darkest of times, so I don't forget my outcome and purpose for life? That's about creating your identity. And so for me, this is about being a samurai. And the coaches that we train at our company are taking along a process about how to truly be in service of others. And Justin, you already know this, so I'm preaching to the choir on this one. But one of those famous things we learned so far is that if you truly, truly want to be in service of someone else, you have to learn how to get the hell out of the way. Because if I'm still working on my stuff and you and I are coaching together, I'm mentoring with you, I'm teaching with whatever phrase we want to use, and yet I keep bringing my stuff up, then we're not solving your stuff. We're still working on my stuff. So my job as being truly in service of others is to do one thing, work on me continuously. So who I am is Samurai, and it's evolving in every minute of what that means to me.
Love that. That was amazing. And I feel like it's so synonymous with life and the best way, because it's so relatable and aligned so much to what you're doing, but it's for all of life. The best gift that we can give to anybody, to our children, to our friends, to the strangers on the street, to the consciousness of the planet, is working on ourselves so that we can become that highest, most loving version of ourselves so that we can show up in that way every single day. And I love that idea for our consciousness and who we are. And I love that that's one of the pillars in what you're doing in Samurai Success. And that's something that you were very, very intentional about in working on yourself so that you can be in the best service to the clients and all the people that you're helping out every single day.
Beautifully said, sir. Yes.
And I wanted to, I want to ask you this, and then we'll kind of tap into how you are being in service every day. Samurai Success, your book, all these things that you're doing. But for people who, you know, say they're one way, kind of staying on that topic of like thinking about who we are, how can people who maybe want to be a certain way, but don't show up that way, how can those people close the gap between who you say you are to who you are and how you're actually showing up in the world?
Okay. There's a lot of this interesting conversation we're having around this template, this spiritual template called be, do, have. Now, most of us have this reversed, right? Where we're doing this, we're doing all this work so that we can have certain things, so that we can be successful. And yet the masters have taught us this exact inverse of this relationship, of this structure, this process. So how we approach it is that we recognize that human beings run off something we call programming. Now, Justin, it won't matter how you and I are talking. We're talking very much on a conscious level in this conversation, very appreciative of that. But our brain is in a certain frequency called beta, and it's doing certain things. And right now, trapped inside my brain and yours, is this something called your subconscious brain. And inside that is something we call programming. So you and I can have this conversation all day long, have the brilliant ideas and wonderful things. Until we change that programming, nothing in this physical realm changes. Because there's an exact model that looks like this that says, our ability to create or manifest or take an idea and pull it into something that really is physical and tangible, that's the fun word for manifestation. We have to do something and understand that how we're interacting with this physical plane and with the spiritual plane, these three dimensions. And how we do that is that we have this unconscious programming that is generating 95% of everything that we're creating in our world. That means only 5% is left over for this conscious conversation we're having. So until I change that programming, brother, you're not changing the physical manifestation of your experiences of the world. So in this quest for being able to align this, I found out something really powerful. In most of my life, I've been taught that I wanted to raise my consciousness level. Right. And I wanted to be able to higher vibrational state. I wanted to be able to do things that were good for the planet and good for other people. And my ego was going, but what about me? And there was this fight that was happening. between said, well, I'm doing all these things for other people. I'm not seeing it come back to me. And I did. I fought this for a long time. I was like, there's language and the scriptures and all these other things. Is what you put out there, put tenfold, get back tenfold. And I wasn't experiencing that because I was putting it into a transaction. And I was using my ego as my source of creation. Now, you and I talk about in this world, people talk about source all the time. Well, you know, if I just get in touch with source, well, I've become aware that there's two different sources I can connect with. My ego, which creates a very different experiential level for me, and my soul, which creates a very different quality of experience. So if I connect to ego and I say that's who I am, then everything's going to be based upon getting the money, getting the girl, getting the guy, getting the house, getting this. It's all going to be what matters is matter. I'm going to be in service of something called being in service of myself. And there's definitely opportunity on this planet, as you can clearly see, that seems to be working for a lot of people in the short term. I wanted to do something different, man. I wanted to live with intention, with purpose. And I will tell you, the thing that's missing from that scenario is purpose, living with purpose, life fulfillment, and eventual happiness. Those things don't usually end up at the end of that ego-based model. Everybody talks about like they do. They're always telling you how happy they are. But inside, man, they're not. Because the ego always has a hole in it, something to fill. I've got to get something out there to put it inside here. There's a hole to be filled. My soul takes a very different approach. There's nothing I need to be fulfilled. I can be fulfilled in this very moment. I don't need the bank account. I don't need the girl. I don't need the guy. But when I have those things, brother, it's just more fulfilling because I'm already filled with that energy of Christ energy, source energy, soul energy. I'm full. I don't need anything else to make me full. And that's the work of really committing to how can I show up to you full? As opposed to you complete me, mm-hmm. Right? As we've talked about in our romantic language and our ego-based stuff. How do I work on me so when I show up with you, I can truly be present and fulfilling? Which means I've already got to bring something to the table. If I want to make sure that there are brownies at the Christmas party, what do I bring to the Christmas party? Brownies. If I want to make sure there's love on this planet, I have to bring it. And that's my job. That's my whole job. If I do that, then there's something that happens. Because it isn't about raising my consciousness level. Because after I started reading some really amazing work by David Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins, I realized that you're probably only going to increase your consciousness level by about 5%. Now, this is his theory. I give you that. But his map of consciousness is remarkable. And when you can only raise your consciousness by 5%, remember, you can drop all the way down to nothing. Or you can only raise it by 5%. I was like, there's something missing here. It's not about raising your consciousness. It's about raising your congruency. And now we're finally getting to your real question. What happens to those people who are being who they say they are and they're doing the work that is congruent with that? You see something we would call rewards. The universe rewards congruency, Justin, not consciousness. Now that, I don't know how that's blown your mind, but when I first heard that, I mean, seriously, I went into a cave for like a month. Like, what the hell just happened? Because here I was working on this consciousness level, doing all this good stuff, right? Doing all the right things, opening the door, making sure I took somebody else's trash out. I mean, I was working in this thing, all ego-based. And I thought that's how you get rewarded because that's what people were telling me. That's what I was watching on this planet. That's what I was observing. And that isn't how it's working. It was just an illusion. what really makes the difference, because you can't lie to the universe. And so the universe isn't looking for that. It knows you, man. What it's looking for is who you say you are, and you're congruent with that. That's what it rewards. Now, this is really important as we're going through this. I know you got some more questions for me, but what's really important is that if you decide to be Gandhi, and you decide on that spiritual path, and you are congruent with that because it's who you say you are, you will be rewarded with that experience. If you say you are Hitler and you do the things that Hitler did, you will be rewarded for those things. Well, that's a very hard pill to swallow. I understand there's a lot of moral implications with that. How dare you say that? It is simply my observation about what I see in this universe. Congruency is what is rewarded.
Yeah, we have to talk about this more right now. This is, we have to go deeper into this for sure, because this is awesome. I'm all about consciousness. My whole being is to help shift the consciousness of the planet. And I think about our consciousness all the time. And when you say that, David, it's a beautiful thing. I instantly start to reject it, which is great though, because yes. any time now that my mind will instantly reject something, I get curious.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You know?
Great process.
Where before I used to get mad or hated it or angry at it, and I would just run in the other direction. Now I'm at a place where I'm like, okay, why? Why is that coming up in me? Right. What are these beliefs that I hold to myself? You know what I mean? Like beliefs that are, I'm attaching myself to these beliefs. Mm. That's what I first will think. It's like, if I'm having such an issue with this, what belief am I so attached to that I am then creating that in my identity of who I am?
Yes.
And it's like, that doesn't feel good for me. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not a path that I want to stay on. So it's good. The curiosity instantly comes up of like, as soon as I feel that rejection, it's like, okay, why are you feeling that way? And what else is there that can open your mind to a new perspective? That, I feel like that's one of the downfalls of humankind, is when we see something that we're unfamiliar with or that we don't like or that is different from us or our beliefs, we instantly say no and we move away. And we can't expand. We cap ourselves off right there. We cap ourselves off to more knowledge, more empathy, more understanding, more compassion. And I just believe that's a huge issue with our consciousness and who we are and mankind. And when we can be curious, you can like feel the shift. When we're not, you feel that cap. When you are, you feel the expansion of the universe come in, where you can obtain new information. It's important to never be so stuck on one of our perspectives. I think to be open always to something new, to a new idea. It's interesting. I'll share this very, very quickly, and then I want to jump back into this. I am a massive fan of gratitude. I go and speak about gratitude, the power of it, starting your own gratitude practice. I have a bracelet that I wear every day about gratitude. And one day, my friend was telling me that he heard a podcast where somebody was talking about gratitude in not the most positive sense. And the person was saying, well, yeah, gratitude can be good, but this person was like stuck in not a good place in her life. But to just kind of feel okay, she would just find gratitude in like the little things that actually weren't good for her. And she felt like the gratitude actually kept her stuck. Mm. Right? Because she was saying thanks for these little things that actually didn't help her, but she just wanted to find gratitude and she felt stuck. When he was telling me that story, I felt my identity and who I was start to crumble. Mm. It was bizarre. It was like very intense. And I literally felt I was like, but I'm gratitude, and if gratitude isn't good, then I'm not good. And I literally started to like kind of freak out, and I started to break down, because my identity of gratitude, that foundation got shaken.
Right.
And it was looked at in a not so positive way. And that was a great experience for me, because that really showed me in real time what can happen when you identify yourself with something, even if it's something as beautiful as gratitude.
Well said.
Okay, so let's go into this definitely more, because and I get what you're saying. It's not so much about the consciousness. I love that too. It's a congruency, right, of who you say you're going to be, And if you say you're going to be that person and you take every single step as that version of yourself, as that person, then the universe will respond accordingly, correct?
Respond. I love that word because the ego wants to take the word reward and do something a lot more twisted when it's going to respond differently than when you're incongruent. As a matter of fact, the very clear thing the universe does when you're being incongruent with who you say you are, whether that's been designed by you consciously or by other well-meaning or not so well-meaning people, this is something your identity becomes part of your programming, no matter what source it comes from, right? Whether you've designed it consciously yourself or it's come from other well-meaning or not so well-meaning people. There's been a whole bunch of people who've told you who you are just in your whole life. Until you do this conscious work where you're saying, I hear you, I accept those, I honor those things, but I want to be able to do things this way and start creating that. That's when things shift and it changes your programming. And that's what we actually teach here at Samurai Success, how to change that unconscious programming. So we do it in a very step-by-step process. So your ego realizes we're not getting rid of your ego. We're not replacing your ego. As a matter of fact, the whole work of a spiritual path master, from my understanding, is to be able to integrate ego, soul, body, mind. It's the integration that creates a fifth element. You know, the fifth element, love. But you can see on this planet right now, there are people who represent each one of those four pillars. If I said to you, hey, tell me somebody who represents the body, right? They're all body, right? Or I grew up during that time, you could probably say, well, Arnold Schwarzenegger would definitely represent the body, right? He was all body. Now he shifted, but that's the beautiful part about what we're going to talk about, right? And then if you said, hey, ego, who's pure ego on the planet right now? Somebody who represents and embodies that, who would you say that would be?
Pure ego. I mean, maybe not, I don't know names, but I would say some people who are at the top of very huge companies that are perfect. Not in service to the planet at all.
Beautiful. And we don't need to really give names to that, but you know these people. And by the way, they're taking that one thing, ego, that's who they are, and they're being congruent with that, and they're being rewarded. Arnold Schwarzenegger was nobody, and he took his body and made him somebody, which now gives him access to Hollywood as an actor and as politics, and now as a spokesperson. He took that from, this is the universe rewarding this. If we went to somebody who was just all soul, who would you represent today in this planet as being a pillar representation of the soul?
It's like, that's a big question. I would honestly, I would say Neil Donald Walsh, honestly. Really,
my mentor, by the way.
yeah, right. And that's like, I'm looking at his book right here, and I'm like, who have I spoken to recently who embodies that fully and truly? And it's Neil.
Yeah, and being with him for 26 years as I have, brother, I am telling you, he's the real deal. And from my own personal experience, and yet Neil will tell you he's been married 6 times. So wait a minute. No, how does the soul get married 6 times? Because that's what his soul is doing this lifetime. Mind isn't doing it the same way, but that doesn't mean he's less than that because we're doing it differently. That's the whole soul's purpose, is to have those experiences. So I don't go to Neo for marriage relationship counseling, even though I probably should because he's done it so many times, right? I go for him for spiritual teaching, and he's so beautifully clear about, hey, listen, I'm sharing you this message. I'm still working on doing the message, but the message is very clear.
That's one of the things I love. Say it again.
So staying along with that same line, that's a great representation of the soul, right? Now, here's the thing. We could say the Dalai Lama, right? Now, the Dalai Lama has no challenges on this planet, right? He can go back to his hometown anytime he wants. He can visit go back to the territory of China. China isn't hunting him as a terrorist or anything else like that. This is the Dalai Lama. And he cannot go back to his own hometown. He's being hunted by an entire country as a terrorist. So in my mind, as I went through this, is like, you know, as soon as I get to this higher level of vibration, I'm all consciousness, I'm not going to have any problems in this planet. that's not how this place works, Justin. At least my personal experience. If your viewers know something, please put something in the comments. Let me know. But that's not how it works. And there's a reason for that. So we talked about the ego. We talked about the soul. We talked about the body. Now, how about somebody who's the mind? And we could go through this. Einstein would be a great example, right? Or some of the other great professors. I'm dropping some of the names right now, but you can see that you can take any one of those four pillars and create who you are from that and have an outstanding life. It's going to be filled with challenges and joys, just like everything else. The opportunity you and I have is the integration of all those four into a fifth element, combining the soul, the ego, the mind, and the body into a creation of the I am statement, the identity of who you say you are. And that life is going to have its own sense of challenges, but it will be a very different experience than just choosing one.
Ego is something I used to run away from. When I started to move into spirituality, it was like, ego is bad. Get away from ego. Ego is the reason for all your issues and all of the dilemmas and all of your bad thoughts is ego. And I mean, that's just, I mean, not necessarily true. And I realized in working with accordance with your ego, right? We are on this planet here in this physical body with our physical bodies and ego. Your ego is what keeps you from just running into the middle of the street and not caring by getting hit by a car. Like, there is so much value in your ego. And because we're not in the spiritual realm right now, we're in this realm of physicality and ego, we need to partner with that. Because, right, that is our container and our tool while living here. And having a bad relationship with that, we're having a bad relationship with ourselves. Right, we're doing ourselves a disservice in that moment. We're not able to live as fully as we can here unless we're able to meld those things together. So, thank you for that reminder, because, you know, you'll know something, or you feel like you'll believe something or have a good grasp on it. You'll hear it again and then again from a new perspective, and then it just locks things in, you know, that much more when you're just getting it from these different places. So that was great. I appreciate that, for you helping remind me of the truth of that, because in spirituality, so many of us, I feel like we want to move away from ego. We think it's bad. And I think really opening your mind and realizing that is a necessary part of your existence here, we can have a relationship with it. We can love our ego, right? It doesn't do service to us if we hate a part of ourselves. We need to be in love with that version of ourselves and a part of ourselves as well.
Interestingly enough, the whole purpose that we're here on this physical plane, from the masters who have said this for centuries, is singular, is to have an experience of that which you say you are. Without the ego, Justin, that's not possible. The ego allows for experience. Now, listen, have some fun with me, because I know this is going to be in tune with you. But as you enter this physical realm, whatever your beliefs are, as you enter this physical realm, you're coming in as a soul. You're connecting to your mind. You're then coming into this body, which then grows. Your soul is fully complete. You're coming in with a soul, right? And the mind is something a little different we'll talk about. But as you develop this body, this thing grows and it evolves. Your ego is already on this planet. And as you come into this avatar suit, this meat machine, as Nikola Tesla would call it, you come into this ego is already here in this physical plane, but that ego does not travel with you to the next dimension. This is where it talks about very clearly in the scriptures that a rich man can no longer enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel can go through the eye of a needle. The rich man is the ego. In that metaphor, the ego does not come into the next dimension. So its purpose here is protection, protecting you, keeping you safe, and dealing with all the illusions of this physical realm. And those illusions are necessary so that you can have, as a soul, the experience of who you say you are. In the other dimension, you are already everything that is. There is no ability to experience that. That's why we've come here. we have consciously, purposely chosen to come here, Justin, to experience this place. And the thing that has happened is most of us have forgotten.
Neil talks about that a lot too. It's just reminding us. It's truth that we already know deep within us. Yes. It's not learning anything new. It's just being reminded of these truths. And I feel like, at least from my own experience, when I tap into these things, there's such an unbelievable knowing. You know what I mean? Like, you just know in your heart and your soul the truth of that, at least for myself. And everyone's different. Everyone might not think the same exact thing. That's so much love for you. But for me, that's been the experience. I always wanted to make sure people know, just because we disagree or see something differently, I still love you. You know what I mean? Yes. Like that. I don't want anyone to ever listen to this and be like, "Ah, oh, Justin thinks something totally different than me. Wow, we are not alike, or we can never have a good conversation, or he probably wouldn't like me if he met me in real life." And it's just like removing that stigma and shifting to a reality where we're curious about the people we don't agree with, and we love them even more for their uniqueness and their beauty and their perspective that we don't have, and just honoring them and loving that and enjoying that as well.
And one of the great masters in not our lifetime, but of our remembrance, has said this very clearly: love your enemies. Very clearly about why he would share that with us. Because without the opposite of who you say you are, just if everybody agreed with everything you and I talked about, do you know how, listen, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I would be bored out of my mind. And how would I feel unique and significant? And how would my ego have any fun with that? It wouldn't. So what the hell are we talking about, wanting to make everything equal? And we're not seeing the magnificence of this place. And that can only happen because we have the source of ego telling us we have to get rid of the ego because the ego is bad, because there's only one source that would tell you that, not your soul. Your soul would never have a conversation with you like that. It wouldn't. So as soon as we have the conversation that's, oh, got to get rid of the soul, got to get rid of the ego, got to get rid of this, got to get rid of those people, who's talking to me? It's all of a sudden becomes very discernible, rather, when you start to really consider this and let some other things happen than just your own programming and our own programming, just keep having the same conversations over and over again. Because as beautiful as the quote is, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different to happen is the definition of insanity. Now, we all say that, we all know this quote, and we're not doing a damn thing about it. Why? Because there's a set of programming inside of us that is managing all these conversations. The good news is this is some conspiracy. There's not a big table of, you know, white, elderly, cigar-smoking men in there having this conspiracy theory about how to take over the world, take over you. And that's the conversation, is that you can change that programming. You've always had access to this. And if you change that, then everything out here changes because of it.
That's literally the key, because before knowing that, you think you have no other choice. Yes. You think that's just what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You say, well, no, this is me. Like, this is who I am. Like, what am I supposed to do? And it's like, once you realize it's your subconscious mind, based off of all the old programming, all the things you've been told that weren't even your ideas or your thoughts, that's actually what's flooding into this current moment, making you act in the way that you act. It's having that deep realization, so then we can be like, oh, wow, I can actually take a step back and observe this instead of being it. I first even heard about this in Michael A. Singer's book, The Untethered Soul.
Yes.
And when I'm a big Audible fan, and when I was listening to it, I almost turned it off because I was getting so aggravated. Right. I was like, what is he talking about? I'm like, there's nothing else. It's just me. What does he mean, this other voice or this other? I'm like, thank goodness I did not turn it off and I kept listening. Because that was, I mean, yes, really having that deep realization. Because so I want to share this again just really quickly too. And then I want to go back into.
Oh, wait, just let's pause with me.
Yeah.
What made you want to turn it off?
Yeah, it made me want to turn off because I didn't understand it. That was one, a big one. I'm like, I don't even get what he's talking about. Why would I listen to something I don't understand?
Right.
And it went against my thoughts and beliefs. So it got me aggravated. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Against your programming.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Dave, are you going to blame everything on programming? No. As a matter of fact, I'm not blaming anything on programming. I'm answering finally a question that has driven me and haunted me for my whole life. What's making me do this?
Yeah.
And then I was like, holy crap. Then I got really scared because then I was like, well, then I'm not responsible. I'm not in control of this stuff. And then I found the other side of it, which was I can change that programming. If I'm going to live from this place of programming called triggers, right? Whenever an event happens and I get sucked into it, I get triggered by it. Well, Dave, that doesn't happen to me all the time. Really? Whenever something happens and you don't pay attention to it, it's like it didn't even happen. Just blew by you like nothing. The thing that causes you to pay attention is because you got triggered. You got hooked. Something in your programming about that event didn't relate, didn't resonate, didn't make sense. And it just set you off on a different path. Finding those things inside of us, Justin, is the most important work you and I are going to do is being on this path of mastery towards spirituality. We've got to heal those triggers. Because if I'm in a conversation with a client and they happen to say something that triggers me, I'm bringing all my hell to the party. And then we're just dealing with me again. I'm not truly being in service of you.
I'm like, really, we're going even deeper. I'm really like really, really getting from your perspective and the work that you do, how important it is for you to really not get triggered, stay in a good place so that you can be in the absolute best service to the people that you're helping. It's really crucial that you do this work first so that you can then lead. Because that's how we lead, right? Is by being the example. By you in that moment, maybe feeling that trigger, but not responding in that way, observing it, looking at it, being curious about it. It's you doing things like that. I'm sure in front of your clients sometimes they're like, whoa, like David's got something here. Maybe I should listen even more and more and more. You know what I mean? He really does have a lot to offer because it's based on your example. And by you showing up in that way all the time or as often as possible, that's how we really create these ripple effects and these shifts in other people who are in that moment, at least willing or open to see it in a slightly different way. Or you can at least plant that seed that may bloom later, right? But at least something that they're able to, if they're receptive and open, to be able to see that in you, to see you vibrating at a different level, to see like the light coming from you. Because I've noticed that when I see people who before at a time in their life would have gotten really aggravated or yelled at something, and then I see them respond in a completely different way with calmness and love and empathy, I'm like, whoa.
What just happened there?
Literally, and you can feel that shift, and it's so beautiful, right? When we can even feel it in ourselves, when that trigger comes up, but we don't respond that way, the peace that brings is incredible. And when we can replicate those moments in the infinite, in the infinite massive amounts of microcosm moments that happen throughout our life, and we can shift those to this sort of a mindset or perspective, that's like truly how we live happier lives. And I love that that's what you're doing. Like, I love what you're doing for your career, for your life, being in service, helping so many people, and like really leading by example and helping to show people the way.
Thank you, sir.
Of course.
And I will tell you that really I'm doing this for me more than anything else, because let's imagine there's this work called Conversations with God that you love so much with Neil's work, right? Which I love. Matter of fact, it's a book that I read. There are 9 books that I read every single year at the beginning of the year just to get my mind straight. And those 3 books are part of that 9 series, right? So I've just completed that series again. But in the course that is, I've sent you nothing but angels. Let's just say that isn't theoretical. Let's just say it's true for a moment. And I take that on as a belief. This isn't that God has sent me nothing but angels. Let's imagine that in order for me to be congruent in this lifetime, that I've set a tone where I'm going to be this person on this path, and I'm going to really do all this healing work, and I'm really going to be in service. I'm truly going to be present for you. Let's say I've said that. Well, then it has to be the universe's job to throw everything at you that is not that, so that you can have an experience of that. So Justin, whenever these beautiful things, by the way, highly organized people, people who are outstanding in what they do and stay consistent, congruent, remember that word, these things lead to authenticity. Ooh, there's the word, because congruency leads to authenticity. So let's just say I'm saying the words, but I'm not really doing the thing. Really, I haven't really healed myself. I'm just telling you that I have healed myself. Don't you worry. The universe is going to send me an angel and is going to test me on this. And I've learned this. So stop fooling around with my ego going, hey, I'm just going to say the words, but I'm really going to do this thing over here. And I realized that doesn't work. I mean, it works short term. I fool some people, but there's always this frequency of authenticity that was missing. It's designed this way. So when you really have done the work, Justin, and you are a person who is definitely on that path of doing this work, that when you get to this place of really doing the healing so you can truly be present, there's an authenticity, a frequency that goes along with that. And that frequency we're talking about attracts other authentic frequencies. There's no coincidence you are in our meeting right now on this time in my life or this time in your life. There's no coincidences here, or the people we're talking to, right? That we can't see right now listening to this podcast. But there's a reason why this is here now, right here, right now, probably in the midst, in our lifetimes anyway, of probably the biggest level of chaos that we're about to see with this next presidential election and everything else that goes along with this. Being authentic and being centered is so important to stay resourceful, because in the midst of all this chaos, there is huge opportunity. And for us who can stay centered and authentic in that place, not just saying it, but really doing the work, then you're going to see a new realm of possibilities that most people will not see. Mm-hmm. That is a great reward.
Yes, well, as we're talking about this more, I'm just thinking and going deeper into the consciousness and congruency. So when I look at our consciousness, obviously it can be all over the place in any direction, but I know the truth of our consciousness and who we really are is love. I know that in my soul and my heart that we are love. When we're talking about congruency, it's not necessarily love. It's right. It's you showing up as anything, right? As any version of yourself, what you, how you see yourself. You could see yourself as this person who's, I don't want to say a terrible person, someone who's just been really hurt, someone who's in a hard place, in a dark place. And then so, because they're seeing their life that way and they're seeing themselves that way, they're going to then show up in that way as well. So I guess it's just like, I'm trying to figure out how to articulate this because I'm still in my mind trying to wrap my brain around this. You know what I mean? So kind of just like talking out loud as I'm,
sure, absolutely,
as I'm thinking about it.
Right.
And then so, so I guess with congruency, you're not saying like this person, every person like wants to be good. Every person wants to be love. It's not that. It's not that. It's just who you think you are and how you're going to show up in the world based on those thoughts and beliefs and actions. That's actually what you get back. Is that
so? Yeah. As a matter of fact, let's just think about it as a mirror system. So what you put out there is what's reflected. And this is part of the scripture that says, hey, whatever you put out there, you get tenfold back. It's kind of a mirror system. And if you read anything about Christ's life and being part of the Essenes, which he was a member of, they talked about the mirror system, which was this thing, as I'm putting stuff out, it comes back. So in Indian terms and things like this, over different generational lifetimes, this is sometimes called dharma or karma, right? From lifetime to lifetime. Well, within this lifetime, and different cycles, by the way, have karma, and then there's times where karma doesn't actually happen. Like right now, as we move in this new age, this karma field is actually being now translated to a much more intense, where things are happening right now in this lifetime from the mirror system. So whatever you're putting out right now in this lifetime is definitely coming back to you tenfold. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this shift that we're going through right now, this new age, as we move into this next cycle. Sometimes they're calling it the age of Aquarian and things like this. And there's lots of different things about whether we're in it and not in it. And as a social scientist, it's not so much about, you know, this directness of that. What I'm really is observing what's happening right now. What's happening right now is we're definitely getting a lot of our truths are being questioned. A lot of the stuff we've been telling ourselves as society are being questioned. The reason for that is this chaos is to be able to reevaluate who we are as human beings. Most, I think, can agree with that most of the source of everything we've created so far has come from the ego. And as long as we continue that, we're going to continue to get the chaos that we've been doing. It doesn't matter if you're male or you're female. If you go in and you start becoming president of the United States and you bring your ego with you, then we're going to have more of what we've created. If we're really going to adopt a change, we're going to have to hire someone in that position and in our leadership positions, someone who is much more integrated, someone who brings more of the soul conversation. Justin, and I know this is part of the, you know, the preaching that you're doing this lifetime. If you really want to do this, then we just got to take Einstein as a fact. And he said, if the energy that created the situation is not the thought or energy that's going to solve the situation. If we continue to bring our ego to our solutions, then you're missing out on the integration you and I are talking about. There is a part of me that absolutely resonates with this, that every solution to every problem on this planet has already been solved. Every problem to every, or every solution to every problem has already been solved. And in quantum mechanics, they talk about the world of pure potentiality. In that space, every solution exists to every problem. But to get access to that, I can't get through my ego.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's the spiritual realm. And the ego doesn't get to get into that. It's protected. It has a restrictor. It's on purpose. So the reason why it's such important for a community for people to start connecting with your soul and start connecting your programming to that soul so that you can access to those solutions, that's what's going to change the planet.
It's like, right, like you just said, the ego got us into these situations. The ego is not going to get us out.
Yeah, it's not designed that way.
Do you think, though, so with the technological age, with the digital age, with social media, with conversations like this that aren't just between me and you, you know, anyone can jump in and observe this conversation. Do you feel like we are shifting and moving more towards that soul-based approach as opposed to ego-based? I think we're trending in the right direction.
It's funny watching humans and looking at this pendulum system, right? Where we tend to swing one way and then we're swinging another way kind of stuff. And this thing isn't going to stop. This pendulum continues throughout centuries and centuries. It keeps moving. What's interesting about that is that as you are, let's say this pendulum is, you know, swinging back and forth kind of stuff like this. If you're way down here on your consciousness level, right? And you're have this thing swinging. Look, this thing just kicks the crap out of you the whole time. But if you raise your consciousness, all of a sudden that same swinging thing doesn't affect you as much as it. Now we're talking. Now we've given even more evidence of why you should be working on you and not watching YouTube. Stop doing that stuff. It's activity without accomplishment. You really want to make a change in this lifetime. Work here. Mm. Start here. Heal this. Be your best self. Connect with your soul as opposed to your ego. Change that programming. You do that work. This ascension of consciousness, no matter how much you can raise that or not, you will be affected by this big pendulum. So the answer then becomes the pendulum is going to keep swinging then. We need more people at that higher level of congruency and consciousness so they're stop being affected by that and stop being in response or reaction to that and start anticipating this that says, hey, there's different solutions for this. We can approach this differently.
I just love that. Sorry, that was just, if everybody could hear and understand that, because that's what it is. It's never anything outside of yourself. It's not waiting for the outside world to get better, for someone to be nice to you so that you can be nice to them or be loving. It's really truly realizing that it's everything is within us. So I feel like this comes up a lot. And I honestly like love this idea. A lot of people will say, well, that's very selfish. You're selfish. You're working on yourself all the time. What do you not spend time with your family? You're not going to do these things. What's kind of like your idea towards that? If someone was to say, well, that's really selfish to do something like that.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Totally. I absolutely agree with them. 100%. Here's the thing. I have a belief system that you and I are not separate from each other.
Yes.
It's an illusion. And the more I work on me, the more I'm helping you and I. Now, if I come from a place of ego with that same strategy, well, then here's how this is going to work. See, I'm working on me to get you to do everything I want you to do to help and benefit me. Because, you know, we're not separate. If I come from my soul source, not my ego source, I'm going to approach the same technology very differently. This is what the masters call intention. This is the thing, man. Where are you coming from? Where's this coming from? We always ask the question. And what we're really asking is this coming from your ego or is this coming from your soul? Being able to work and embrace and befriend my ego, brother, is the most important work I've done this lifetime. Because now, finally, I can move it out of the way. And I can finally get to the conversation we need to be having. But until I've healed that, until I've befriended that ego and recognize it's a big part of me being here and the experiences and be gratitude, you know, have gratitude for that ego part of me, then it's controlling me. I now let it know that I would like to be in control of it. And it sees that I want to benefit it. I want to integrate it because I know what the game is here now that I'm playing. And it goes, well, okay, let's do this together. And I'm like, yes. Here's the thing. It's going to be this. I'm going to be selfish working on me until I no longer have to work on me so that I can finally be in service to you. I can't find the selfishness in that model.
Words are just so inefficient. They've just like, we need to communicate these vast, deep ideas and concepts with the things that our mouths make. It's just like, the reason why I'm saying that is because there's got to be like a new word for selfish. Because in this term, right? Because the idea of selfish makes it seem it's like it's only for me. But in reality, the time that I spend on me is actually for you. So it's like an interesting dynamic there where you, in a sense, are being selfish, I guess, because you are spending time and working on yourself. But those actions and that work and that time is actually for the betterment of everybody else, like myself included, but also for everybody as equally, if not more.
If that represents who I say I am, I'm working on me so that I can eventually get to you, which is me, called being samurai. That's great. That is the outcome. But remember, I've committed who I am to the outcome I'm after. Be, do, have. I'm following the model, right? What's the have? The have is the outcome. What I want to have is an experience of this. Well, that I've got to do this thing and I've got to be this thing. And you were talking about incongruency earlier, which says this. Listen, if I say to you I'm a world-class athlete and I sit over on the couch over there and eat Cheetos all day, one of these things doesn't go with the other, right? It isn't congruent. So I'm going to have a very different experience than if I say I'm a world-class athlete and I train like that every single day. I'm going to have a very different experience. So because my outcome is so clear to me, now, here's the deal. My outcome is so clear to me because who I've chosen to be. Be, do, have. Destiny is another word for that outcome. just done. And that was another thing that I spent most of my life looking for, this destiny, this hidden thing, this treasure that I was supposed to, you know, uncover somehow. And here's the real story of it. Here's the real process. Here's the real structure of it. When I announce to the universe who I say I am, I begin the process of attracting that destiny. That destiny has already been created. It's not something I have to create. It's something I have to choose. And the way I choose it is by being who I say I am and doing the things that are congruent with that. And that accelerates having the experience of that destiny.
It's just nice to take moments and just be in them and be silent. I used to run away from the silence.
Yes.
In a space like that, I would have been like, oh my God, David's not talking. I'm not talking. What do we do? What do I say? You know what I mean?
Speaking to the choir, sir.
But it's great. Like there's, you know, there's these big ideas that sometimes it just takes a moment to be with, to like fully download it and just be in that moment. Like instead of shifting around to the next thing and get carried away there, let's just be in this for a moment. Let's really let this sink in. Let's really observe this. And because what we keep talking about again is just so, it's so important. If everybody in a moment decided who they wanted to show up and be, and if they really looked at it as their soul, not as their ego, I truly believe that most people would see themselves as love, the truth of who we actually are.
Yes.
And then if you see yourself as that and you say, hey, I want to show up as love. I want to show up as empathy, as kindness, as forgiveness, as openness, as understanding, as all these beautiful things. I want to show up as connection, right? When we can look at that through our soul's perspective, that's a fun thing to do. You know, instead of looking at it from the perspective of like this body of David or this body of Justin, literally take a moment and think about it from your soul's perspective and what, how your soul would actually view this situation right now. And when I've ever done that, it connects me back to the truth of who I am, which is love. And if we can think that and say, hey, this is who I am, this is how I want to show up in the world, and we are congruent in those thoughts coming into our actions, then it's so beautiful. That's exactly what we can create. And in knowing that, I love that you said this right off the bat in the beginning of the episode, we are creating. We're creating it. We're creating our reality. We're creating the life that we're living. We're creating how we decide to show up in the world. And in every moment, it's
the work we can do. It's the most important work you are ever and I going to do in this lifetime. Because here's the deal. When you start observing at this level, right, that you and I are talking about, you realize that all the cars, all the money, all the houses, all the material things, you can't take with you. It can't be about that. It just makes no logical sense when you say it this way, brother. That if I believe I'm going into this next realm and I can't take any, then that can't be what that next realm is about. I'm sorry. I just look at things a little crazy sometimes, but it doesn't make sense to me when you put it that way.
David, as we start to just wrap things up a little bit, first, I want to just be able to share with anyone who's listening, and we've already talked about, you know, your company, Samurai Success, and what you're doing. Is there anything else you just want to fill people in on? So if they're listening or they know somebody who can maybe use your services, kind of, not exactly, you know, not like step by step, but really, how are you in service to people? What are you giving to people? And we've touched on this a little bit, but maybe just more like right here, just because I don't want to miss that opportunity for someone who's listening right now who could really use you and your company and your guidance and those things. So I just want to let people know a little clearer what that is so that we can help people and be of service.
Wonderful, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, for sure, about being able to do that. I really want to keep going with the same thought processes. This really is about the listener today, right? As opposed to making about David or anything else that we're talking about. But if you really want to, if this stuff resonates with you, then go grab the book, right? Swords of Illumination. And it really starts talking about this programming concept, not so much in the book. You got to dive a little deeper to find those. There's a great storyline. The technology that's in there is pretty remarkable, but the technology is this thing called programming. So each one of the swords has a different engravement to remind you. Very first sword of illumination is the sword of identity, your most powerful belief system you have on this planet, something you get to create. And once you create that, everything else starts coming into alignment with that. So the other swords that go along with that, each one of those is a journey about how to then make this change of programming at a very conscious level. We then take that to the next level here at the company and help you actually get that into your subconscious work, right? So that's where it really is. So right now, the struggle that most of us are dealing with is that our conscious part of our brain and our unconscious part of our brain programming are fighting each other. This is the big fight. So we help you integrate both those things into one thing where they're working together congruently, cooperatively, as opposed to competitively. And a lot of the noise, Justin, you were talking about earlier, like this voices and all that, all that stuff starts to fade where it goes away. And in that moment, for me anyway, my evolution of this was that when I finally stopped listening to all that other crap that was worried about this and what did she say? And oh my God, how are they thinking about this? What's who? Because I didn't remember who I was. All that noise went away. And in that silence you talked about were these answers. These answers that you and I really want to get deep in, they already are there. I just had to get the hell out of the way. And the hell that I'm talking about is all that noise. All that stuff that was so important to me that I've been taught by other people, well-meaning people, my parents, the church, everything else. And then there's not so well-meaning people, some of the people in high school, you know, those, the bullies, you know, the things that want to talk you out of your greatness kind of stuff because they don't want to have to compete with your greatness. So they were not very well-meaning people. But I listened to all those. I accepted those about who I was, and that wasn't getting the job done. So the really big part of this is that I would definitely grab a copy. We just got brought out the audio version here this last month, which is awesome, right? And so there's a lot of people, I know, not a lot of big readers this time, this planet, but there's the option for you for being able to do the audio version of it now or the reading, depending on which way you like, and see if it resonates with you first. If it resonates with you, there's some great information in the book about how to reach out to us and be able to take a path of Yoshi or a Dai Chi of becoming a coach with us or actually being a student with us or whatever that looks like. And that would be the best way for you to reach out to us.
Love that. Amazing. As you just said that too, it reminds me of a program that I'm still in right now. So do I actually not enjoy reading? Am I a bad reader? Or do I just think that I am based off my old programs when I was younger and I had a difficult time reading and people told me I had reading comprehension issues. Is it actually still who I am now?
What an awesome question. Wow. From neuroscience, most of our programming is developed by the age of 7. From 0 to 7. And there's a very specific scientific reason for this. Your brain is in the most type of theta frequency, which opens up the subconscious mind to learn that programming. And then by the time you get your terrible twos and all that stuff that gets up to 7, the ego takes control over protecting that subconscious part of your brain. So everything coming into your conscious part of your brain, your ego goes, hey, we're not taking that. No, we're doing that. And by the way, you did that during this podcast, which is so beautiful, man. I'm so appreciative of it. It was like, hey, wait, stop. And you should see your deer in headlights look like, I don't agree with that. I'm shaking things out. That doesn't make sense to me. Push back. And that's what the ego does. It's its job. It's a very important part. And I will tell you, I'm very thankful for my ego even today and knowing it exists because there are really tough things on this planet, man. They're not all soulful and joyful and everybody's just out to help you kind of stuff. There's some evil on this planet that your ego helps you with and protects you from. But because I'm a friend with my ego, it communicates with me those potential dangers. And then I get to evaluate if that's something I really need to worry about, as opposed to it being in charge, telling me I need to worry, and I go into full panic and worry mode. It's just a different way of approaching it.
Yes. I'll share one of the ways that I have, and I didn't even know I was doing this while I was doing it, but I reprogrammed my subconscious mind in gratitude, literally, like completely through gratitude. So I started practicing gratitude because I just wanted to focus on the things that I was grateful for. I wanted to give me these elevated emotional states and feel good. I wanted to attract more things to me that I could be grateful for. The most profound thing that happened through this practice over months and years now, it started to reprogram my subconscious mind, where most times, and this is what I speak about too, most times I don't have to search and look and claw to find the gratitude in a situation. The beauty, the positivity, and the goodness, my mind just instantly goes to.
I love that analogy, brother, because you're doing exactly what we teach our clients to do on a conscious level. Now, here's the thing. Of the four ways to change your subconscious programming, practice is the one we focus on here at Samurai Success the most. Practice. So if you practice a certain thing, so have some fun with me. There's this great adage that most of us think we know. And help me with this. Practice makes...
perfect.
Wrong.
I know, but... sorry, yeah. I know, but...
practice makes permanent.
Hmm.
Now, when you hear that, like I did, I was like, what the? First of all, I went, no. Let's have a conversation about that. Because what I was really pissed about was a really big part of me resonated with me right away, but I couldn't articulate it or defend it. It was like totally against everything I knew. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Practice makes permanent. That means when you practice something over and over again, you practice looking at this gratitude and looking for you, your subconscious mind will look for gratitude. Imagine it being able to look for opportunity. Now imagine it look for things you would call money or love, or your brain is already programmed doing this. And it's been programmed between 0 and 7. And that's as much of that stuff as you're going to get. That's that programming. Imagine your programming is like a belief system, is like a thermostat. And connected to every thermostat is this heater thing and a cooler thing, right? Which is the heat portion and the AC version. So it's part of an HVAC system, right? That says, hey, if my thermostat is set at 70 and all of a sudden it gets too hot, then the job of the thing is like, hey, it's too hot. Let's kick on the AC. Let's cool it down. Now let's imagine it gets cooler than 70 and all of a sudden it starts getting down to 62. All of a sudden the heat has to kick back on. We got to get back up to 70. And you start seeing this wave. Whoa, wait a minute. These hot and cold things. And we say this in our languages. We just don't realize how to articulate this in this way that says, man, I'm not making enough. I got to get on fire, man. I got to light a fire under my butt. I got to get going. And we're heating ourselves up. And we then have this other verbiage when things cool off. It's called self-sabotage. And we do this thing. That's programming in demonstration. You're not going to fight your programming, Justin. You don't have to. You just have to understand that you can change it so that this model starts to look like this model. And it works.
So it's like really funny in saying practice makes permanent. I fully know that because of my gratitude, literally because of my gratitude, because I've had the experience. I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, I know the common term is practice makes perfect, but it's like it doesn't because nothing is perfect. What is even perfect? But yes, and I love that because I've experienced it. That's how I know it to be true. That's how, like, I have a knowing about that, and I know it in my soul because I've actually experienced it. Can we, you mentioned in terms of reprogramming your mind, practice was number one.
Yes.
What were the other, you said there was four in total.
So the hypnosis is number one. Practice number two. Number three is something called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, or Psych-K, which are actual technologies to understand this human technology, and you can reprogram these things. Fourth one is something called the IM Studio, which is something we've developed here at Samurai Success, which includes all those top three. We've incorporated and embraced all of them: hypnosis, using your own language, using theta-based frequency stuff, using, it gets hot. And then, of course, the last one, which is really the fifth element, which is called love. Mm. When you're in love with something, you actually take the model and flip the 5%, the 95%, you flip it on its head. So when you're in love, called the honeymoon effect, made famous by Bruce Lipton, right? One of the great three amigos. In his work, the honeymoon effect talks about when you're in love, you actually flip this model that 95% of you can manifest from a conscious level as long as you're a frequency of love. And all of a sudden, 5% goes to your subconscious program. Yeah, exactly. So you've been promoting this love, right? Spread love movement kind of stuff. And this frequency actually has its own reward system. For most of us, though, staying in those things of love, brother, comes down to our programming. So then we talk about a term called the frequency of the frequency. How often, frequency, you're in the frequency of these emotional states is actually what creates the attractor factor. Because that congruency, right? So let's say, for example, 80% of the time, I'm teaching and promoting this thing called love, but my actual experience of congruency is 80% of the time I'm in fear. Then I'm only doing the talk 20% of the time, and I'm actually experiencing it 80% of the time of being in fear or in some kind of scarcity mode. Well, I'm going to attract from the scarcity, not what I'm talking about. That's that congruency. Being in love, man, changes everything. And I would tell you, when people fall in love with themselves, then they get full. And we're not talking about someone being cocky or ego-based. I'm talking about when you're full of love, you can't help but give it away. When you're full of rage and hate and confusion and fear, you can't help but give it away. So the question then becomes is, what do I want to be full of today?
what do I want to give to the world?
Yes, because what I give to me is what I can give to the world. I can't give something away I don't possess.
I can't wait to meditate on the congruency because I understand it. Like logically, it clicks and I totally understand what you're saying, but it's me still having an issue with the consciousness. Maybe like trying to figure out how to like connect those two or maybe realizing there is no connection, but I'm excited. So thank you for this new perspective on how to look at this. I love that.
Absolutely.
Buddy, and I knew that you were doing things differently. I knew it. How we talked on, a couple of weeks ago, just looking at some of your literature and stuff like that, your website, it's like, I know he's doing it differently. Like I know, obviously, you're a personal coaching, you do personal coaching, executive, organizational, all these things, but I just knew you were doing it in a different way than at least that I've heard before. And now when we talk about theta, beta brain waves, you're talking about how to reprogram your conscious mind, how to bring together ego and soul. It's just like, I feel like it all just like locked in. Like you are doing the really important intentional work that I just don't see happening a lot of other places. So just a million times over, love you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. this stuff is so important. It gets me like so fired up, obviously. But it's stuff that I know is just so important in us, in our reality, in our consciousness and how we show up. And like, you're helping create heaven on earth, which can exist here in the now. Heaven is not something we have to wait for. Hell doesn't even exist. Hell can exist, I think, in our minds, in the present moment, totally. How we perceive things.
Absolutely.
But you're helping people realize that we can create this heaven here and now. And I don't know anything more valuable than that in life. So that's why I'm getting psyched. So before we cut out, David, if I can just ask you the question I ask every single guest, and you have been answering it throughout this entire podcast, but it's really great to ask the question directly and just see what that response is. So I'm going to go back to consciousness here. So I mentioned this before too, but like me being here, it's not like, I don't know. It's not my purpose. It's not what I'm here to do. It's when I am stepping forward in love and empathy and kindness and acceptance and understanding and forgiveness, when I'm taking every step forward in our oneness, I feel most fulfilled. I feel the best I could ever possibly feel. And I feel like a part of that is to me being here is to spread that. And that's the purpose of the page, of this podcast, of me speaking and things like that. Essentially, it's a shift of consciousness from where we are to one that is more loving, kind, empathetic, all those things, a consciousness that is one. So it's like, it feels weird to ask you because you're doing it. But in your own words, David, how do you feel like every single day you are helping in this sort of a beautiful shift of consciousness?
It really takes me back to what do I need to work on me so that we can develop a company like this that really is soul searching, right? And soul centered. Plenty of us are doing the ego stuff already. You really don't need my help, you developing your ego. Most of us have a pretty well-developed ego. We don't need more of that on the planet. So let's do something different. That's the whole concept of this. And does that difference then get results? And that was the question I had, because I didn't have many examples of people doing this soul connection and seeing the kind of results in the material world that I wanted to experience. I wanted to have the dream car. I want to have the experience of diving all over the world and some of my passions, martial arts and things like this. I want to fully experience this thing. I don't want to sit in a cave and do that kind of stuff and meditate, because man, when I started doing that whole thing, a spiritual thing, you start meditating all day, people start showing up and taking your furniture. I didn't want to have the experience, right? I wanted to be fully engaged in this place. I wanted to take these spiritual truths and make them practical. I didn't get this whole, you know, in the absence of that which is not, that which is not. What the? My brain exploded. How do you make that shit practical? Scares my language. Practical, right? I'm serious. I was like, come on, Neil, let's go.
Oh my God, that's helping in conversation with God too. The first time I heard that,
You and I have had spirited relationships before. And let me tell you, my conversation with Neil have been spirited for sure. And I think that's what he loves about, you know, our company, because I want to know how this stuff works in this plane.
Yes.
I already get how it works in the other plane. I'm going to discover that on my own. I'm going to transition. I'm going to get there. All the answers. How does it work here? All right. So let me finally come to the answer to this. With all that framing around this, I realized that a lot of this programming was based upon these trigger events. Here's how to make this practical. What I was realizing that as I went back and had these memories of these events that happened when I was much younger, I was still experiencing as if they were happening today, 10, 15, 20, 40 years ago. I was experiencing like they were happening today. And I was responding to a totally different new event in the same way. And I was like, what is happening here? I'm actually having a PTSD moment. I was actually having this emotional response in this moment of now, as if that was happening there with a brand new event. But they were similar enough in nature that they triggered this past. I was like, that's not helping. It's not making me resourceful, and certainly isn't my best version of what I say I am. So in order to get truly immersed in who I say I am, I had to clean up my past. This is how to make it practical. I had to figure out a process, and that process already exists on this planet, that I had to go back and revisit some of those things, and I had to write those things down. And I had to do something called healing work around those past events. And the whole reason, Justin, for that healing was so that I could recapture that energy I left back there. I left it in the form of emotional triggers, but it's just energy. But here's the deal. As I started writing these down, I had not five or six of these triggers. I had hundreds of these triggers. And I just kept writing, like, this is a huge list. And all of our clients do this work with us now. We write down this entire list of all these different things. And by the way, every single time I hear one of this, I get that energy back. I get that. And so if I only have 100% of my energy available, Justin, then 25, 30, 40% of that is in my past. And it's not even available to me because I left it behind just so I could keep going. I didn't know how to deal with it then. And I just kept moving like this machine. Yet I don't have the power today to make those changes to my programming until I have access to my full amount of energy, which is the power. So if I'm going to be empowered, like we all talk about these funny cliches, then I have to do the work of going back, healing that and recapturing that energy for the present moment of now. Because I will tell you, in this world, I'm going to need all of my energy to deal with it so that I can remain who I am, do what I've come here to do, stay on mission and purpose, and live a life of fulfillment and destiny.
And so you can live in congruency with who you say you are.
I'm going to keep you around me, sir.
I'm like in the moment doing my best to implement this and to like really, yeah, just, this is really resonating with me a lot. And yeah, just in little moments being like, clicking it in my brain a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Sir.
David, this is beautiful.
As you knew it would be.
I was gonna say, you know, in life I don't always do the best at this, sometimes better than others, but I try to come into things with no expectations. But there was expectation here a little bit. We had a great conversation before. I love Ryan, who just couldn't have spoke higher about you. And he really, he's very intentional with who we recommend to each other, essentially, and obviously who he recommends to me. And it just exceeded anything that I could have possibly even perceived it going. And it's so much in part to, I mean, obviously you and your knowledge, your wisdom, your energy, how you're able to express these things in such a fun and enjoyable manner, but that is very knowledgeable and very concrete in your ideologies of these certain things. And you have a great way of being able to really explain them in layman's terms and really like, that's something that I think Neil is great about too, that in all his books, they're just like the simplest understandings of things. And I feel like that comes through with you a lot as well. And that's just so important for everyone to be able to understand this. Because if people are listening to you and you're talking all these terms that no one can understand, then what's really the point? So I just, honestly, being here with you was amazing. I'm so grateful that Ryan made this introduction. And then I got to just be in your space, feel your energy, and just learn from you as well too, and just be able to share this conversation.
Back at you, my brother. Mm. Let me be clear before I let you go. I will tell you that I am this person today because I have purposely created this programming. When I was working with Tony Robbins, which I used to in my past, I watched a remarkable man get up on stage and take everything he was doing in his life and turn it into a metaphor of what he was doing on stage. It was the most, he was taking really just incredibly complex issues and turning them into really simple articulations. And I was like, I love that idea. I love that characteristic. I admire that about him, right? Yeah. And so when I started writing out who I am, I put that in my programming. So the exact verbiage you just experienced with me is because I've written this into my programming and I've been practicing it for all these years. And now it just flows through me, just like gratitude does with you, brother. So this is a changeable event. So have some fun with this as you explore this with this. And
yeah. It's like, what a great world way to, would you say that again?
World opens up.
What just a beautiful way to come full circle with that. That was just honestly a perfect way to really seal up that circle and to just make it come all the way around and connect back to the other side. David, if you can just let people know too, where they can find you, where they can get the book, where they can find you on social media, your website, anything that you want to share so that people can reach out to you, we'd love to hear that.
Sure, you can find the book on Amazon right now, and it also is on Apple under the audio version, as on both of those sites as well. And the hard book and soft cover books, you can reach us directly at samuraisuccess.com, which is our website. And we're just getting into, after 26 years of being a businessman, we're finally getting into social media, if you can believe it. Oh, Sarah, we're such babes in the woods when it comes to this stuff. But Ryan is actually taking on this for us. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, for goodness sakes, man. It's happening. So that's all of our access points, and you can find us. Phone numbers are all on there and everything else like that. So we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, I love that you're tapping into that, because that's just going to allow more people to understand this, to tap into this, and to start making these sorts of shifts. Yes, I'm so excited. All right, buddy, I love you so much. Thank you for this time and space and just what you're doing in the world and how you're showing up. And thank you so much for just sharing everything that you just shared. It was helpful for me. I know it was helpful for the audience as well too. If anyone out there right now is listening and you took any bit of value from this conversation and what David spoke about, always let this be your sign to take that step and reach out. That's literally, David said it before, that's why you're here right now. So don't miss this opportunity. Thank you for being here with us and in being a part of this conversation with me and David. We have so much love for you all. That is why we have these sorts of conversations. Cannot wait to see everybody next week. Love you guys. We'll see you soon. Thanks, David.
Thanks, man. See you soon.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.